Lord, we sense your presence and we know you're here. And we know that we are facing difficult days and you have come to prepare us so that we'll be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So help us this morning and help me to say things that will help the people here and those on that are hearing me on the internet, that it will be things that will be helpful to them. I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to read together in Acts chapter 7, verses 49 and 50, if we may. I know you've heard this before. I prayed very carefully about what to say this morning. I'm not giving you leftovers or canned fruit. I talked to the Lord for about 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock this morning. Okay, here we go. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? Now I want to talk a little bit about God's rest and what's involved in that. Because, keep going, April, keep going. Because it's obvious that there's no rest for God in the world, and there's very little rest for God in the churches, because we don't understand that. And I notice a good friend, Dan Irving, has made it possible for me to become acquainted with some of the new so-called reconstruction efforts. And they're just the opposite of what God wants. Just the opposite. And there's thousands of people, charismatic people involved. And what they're doing is they're trying to whip up a little something, because after Pentecost, people don't know what direction to go in. Where is God? And so they've made up. They've, as Brother Dahl used to say, they've anointed themselves. And I know that because of the stuff that goes on. One group you'd enjoy is called the Holy Jumpers. They're not called the Holy Jumpers. I name them the Holy Jumpers. But they stand in place and just jump up and down. The idea is they're crossing portals so they'll be closer to God. And in these reconstruction meetings, sometimes there's no Bible preaching. And the effort is not on, emphasis is not on Jesus at all. It's on people getting gifts and otherwise making a commotion. And the idea is to bring in the kingdom before Jesus comes, have it ready for him. So it's not a new idea. One major emphasis is that the wealth of wicked people will be given to the righteous. Well, the congregations love to hear that. It's taken from an Old Testament passage saying that God will bless you if you keep the law of Moses. It's no big revelation for the end time, but preachers know how to attract people. They know what the congregations want to hear. And so we have a lot of excitement and people falling on the floor. I like what Ezekiel says. I think it's chapter 2, verse 1. He says, stand up on your feet and I'll talk to you. And then the Holy Spirit lifted them up so they could stand and talk to God. But if you go into one of these meetings to which I'm alluding, and I do not mean to be critical at all. There's good people there. They just don't know what they're doing. And it will turn into the false prophet. I'll guarantee you that. And it will be a great support to Antichrist. Is this accent on money, accent on people doing things. And they have not heard from God, and they don't profess to have heard from God. They're just saying, you know, the fact that people are falling on the floor and all, That's evidence that God is with us. We don't need the Bible or need anything special. So I want you to know that's out there. And it's growing. Sometimes it's called dominionism. Sometimes it's called seven mountains. And it's very attractive to people. It's a lot of fun. You come to church, it's a lot of fun. And I just want you to be aware of that. It's the opposite of the rest of God. It's the opposite of the rest of God. It's the ambition of people. I know when we came, Audrey and I came to Mount Zion, it wasn't called Mount Zion then, it was the old church over there with a couple of people in it. And I made a covenant with the Lord. I said, we'll keep the place warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and we're not touching anything. The ark is coming down the road. I know that, and we are not going to touch it. If the whole thing folds and goes wacko, Lord, that's your problem. It's your church, your people. And if it grows, fine. We'll try to keep steady. But we're not going to lay our hand on God's work. So, years ago, I prayed for power. Oh, man. My idol was Elijah, and I prayed for power, 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 power. Well, it never happened. But what God did was give me his word. Now, as of now, for this year so far, there's been over 2 million hits on our site, and 330,000 pages read. So you see, that's what God wanted. I didn't care for the ministry of writing, but that's what God wanted. And so God, in my book, God gets what he wants. So if he doesn't want me to have power, and he wants me to write, then God help me. Because we've got about 1,000 books, booklets, and essays out there where people can read those that are on there free of charge. You know, it's to give God's church knowledge of what God wants today. And it's not to build his kingdom. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. And that rock is the profession that was just made by Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. Well, the whole point of the rest of God, which was announced at the birth of the church and the first martyr, God says, where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You know, what are you getting all excited for? My hand built these things. And he says, where will my resting place be? He's been resting since the beginning of the creation. And God says, I want a resting place. Now, this gets very personal. And you have to ask yourself, like Kathy laid the preamble here, is God finding his rest in you? As long as you have your own will going, your own plans, what you're going to do, God cannot find his rest in you. And you see there, we say, well, we could go into passivity, and that's a real trap. I'm not going to do anything until God speaks. Well, the demons will speak if you do that. The rest of God is a very powerful thing. We have to enter God's rest, and we enter it every moment of every day by staying in the presence of Christ. And we do that by giving all that we're doing to the Lord. And that may sound impossible. It's not impossible at all. In fact, it's a lot more comfortable and nice than trying to figure out our own way. Maybe you don't come to many decisions, Well, I think we all do. I know Patty's right now having a decision, and we all have decisions, usually minor, sometimes large, like, should I move? Should I go to another state? Should I do this? What should I do this? And the ministry is very vulnerable to this because if things aren't moving, you know, and people aren't shaking, well, we better think of something to do. You know, bring in a sword swallower or something. And so the idea of resting is not doing nothing. It is being very active in yourself, in contacting and keeping the Lord's presence at all times. That's the rest, that's the true rest of God. And you don't enter into it by saying, I'll do nothing. You can't in our culture, it's too vibrant. It's too attractive. If it isn't one thing, it's another thing. And to keep in that place where your mind is on the Lord Jesus Christ and not what's going on in our culture, it will take all you've got. So, that's where we're going this morning. God is saying, I want people in my rest. And that means that your life is tuned into Jesus at all times and in all circumstances. And that may sound impossible. It's easy for me because I'm so old. You know, I had a lot of time. But I started this, and the church will tell you, I've been preaching, think as he's thinking, speak as he's speaking, move as he's moving, keep your eyes on God at all times, long before I lost my balance. So, yes, you can do it. You can do it. Whatever your occupation is, no matter how engrossing it is, you can keep shoving off the problems and your worries to the Lord Jesus. Or you can worry yourself to death. It's up to you. It's your choice. But it's much nicer to go to bed at night. I like to go to bed at night and pull the covers up. There's a false sense of security to that. And the Lord said to me, I am your security, not the blankets. I am your security. And your joy and everything else. He wants to be everything. He wants to be everything. You say, there goes my life. Listen, I had a lot of plans for myself. And they're gone. And I'm glad that they're gone. Because when I look back, it was a bummer. I don't want it. But having the Lord is wonderful. It's an adventure. So you take your pick. You can enter the rest of God now or wait till this great, huge vulture of God's wrath, which is circling over the United States because of the nakedness and the sexual perversions and the worship of money and everything else is going on in our nation. And it gets nakeder and nakeder. And they keep pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope. And you've got to be a strong Christian. But this is the day when the Lord is making his leaders for the world to come. Now you listen to me. The Bible says, many that are last in time, so it didn't put in time, but that's what it means. Many that are last shall be first. And I tell you, this generation now, and we have horrible enticements to live in the flesh, don't we? Horrible enticements to live in the flesh. And if we can live victoriously through this, I promise you in the name of Jesus, we'll be ruling in the days to come. And I'll tell you this, everybody in the world to come will either be a ruler or be ruled. God will have no such thing as a democracy when, you know, everything is going this way and that. You will be a ruler or you will be governed. So you make your choice. If you want to be a ruler, this is the time to show your stuff and live in victory. All right. The rest of God. I'm talking about the rest of God. All right. Jesus is an example of a person living in what I call the eternal Sabbath. It's the rest of God, of which the seventh day Sabbath was a forerunner, like so many of the Old Testament things. But the real Sabbath is when you rest with God and do only his will, and you keep your self-will and your plans and all the rest of it subdued to the Lord and do what he wants. See, that's the rest of God, as simple as that. Jesus lives in it at all times. This is what he said. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus, this is, I'm sorry, John the 5th chapter, the 19th verse. John 5:19. Jesus, the guy with the robe, says, I can do nothing of myself. See, that's the attitude of the rest of God. See? Well, who does it? The Father? And I'll tell you something else. There's people in here in this room that I'm sure will be ruling with the Lord during the thousand-year kingdom age. I'm sure there's some here who will be ruling with Christ. And that means that when the Lord comes next, you'll be gathered to him. If you're of no use in ruling, you won't be gathered to the Lord. He's looking for people who can rule. All right. This is how it works. This will be true for 1,000 years, and maybe more than that. The Father will decide what he wants. Now, he's going to keep the earth in peace. He's not going to have any wars. He's going to have a peaceful world, which means the United States will have to be broken up into about 10 countries. Because you can't govern a thing as large as the United States. There'll be about 10 countries, and I guess the Indians will get their own, and a lot of people will go back to their racial inheritance. But this country's going to be broken up, and each one will have its own king. Well, now when there's a problem, and divide 180 million, million by 10, and you'll find there'll still be plenty of people in each area. The Father looks down and he sees something that is not peaceful, that is not fruitful, that is not contributing to what he wants, and he'll tell that to Jesus. Then Jesus will tell that to the ruling Christian. And then the angels will see that it's carried out, because a lot of people will resist it. You know how they are. You're not going to tell me nothing. Well, they will tell him something. And the angels, these huge guys with the swords, will make sure what the Christian has said. And that's the way it will go through the whole 1,000-year period. The Father will look down, will decide what isn't just the way he wants it. He'll tell Jesus. Jesus will tell the ruling Christian. The ruling Christian will announce it to the people in that area. And then the angels will look around to make sure everybody's being obedient. Just as simple and straightforward and practical as that. Wouldn't you like to live in a world like that? Well, you may be living there, but if you don't make the so-called rapture, better term is catching up. Rapture is an ancient term that means catching up. But we don't use it for that anymore. So you could follow the Greek perfectly by saying catching up. And if you're not caught up, you're going to live here. And you'll be under this kind of rule, and it'll be wonderful. Wonderful. Not all this wars and leaders all brushing up their ego and fighting for territory. That's an evidence that man is not in the rest of God. It's right there in your newspaper. He's doing his own thing, and God wants him to do his thing. What evidence is there that the churches are not in the rest of God? Denominations. Denominations are mute testimony to the fact that the people in the churches are not listening to the Lord Jesus. In fact, I think listening to the Lord Jesus is a fairly rare thing among Christians. And especially among the leaders. How often have you leaders heard the leader say, the Lord told me to do this today? They'll tell you, we've got a plan, and we think that God has given us this plan, and so we want to pray that God will bless our plan. Well, they're right, it's their plan. Like all this Reconstruction thing, God is not in that. In fact, one of the first, now I'm going to tell you something, how many have heard the expression, the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem? How many have heard that? It's in two places, in Isaiah, and it's in one of the prophets. The word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem, and the law from Zion, because Zion is the militant part of the Lord. It already has. You know what it is? The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5 through 7. That's the word coming from Jerusalem that is going to be enforced during the 1,000-year period. Simple as that. The Sermon on the Mount. See, you already got the word of the Lord from Jerusalem and the law from Zion. Okay, Zion represents the church. You know what? How many remember Matthew 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, what they're about? This is how Jesus began presenting the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What are they about? Well, Lord, get busy there. We'll be able to tell you. All right? Verses 3, 4, and 5. What's the first one?
Blessed are those who mourn.
What are you saying, Marla?
Did you say 3?
Verse 3.
Blessed are those who mourn.
That's 4.
Oh, sorry.
Cuatro, Marla.
Cuatro.
Cuatro.
Si, señor.
All right.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
All right. Now look. Stop and think. Here's the greatest event in history. The God of Sinai, in the flesh, standing or sitting, probably did most of the stuff sitting in a boat or something, but if he stood up the whole time, that's up to him. And what is the first thing he says? What is the first thing he says?
Blessed.
Yeah, that's the first word. Carol. You're as bad as Marla between the two of you. Nobody can do anything around here. Poor in spirit. That is the opposite of the Reconstruction movement. In fact, I heard one of the men say, it was on a video clip, he said, we're not talking here about being meek. You don't get to be the top of one of these seven mountains, we'll say the head of education or the head of the military, the head of the finance. We don't get there by being meek. It's the opposite. You know, well, what are these meek Christians doing? Or what did the meek Jesus do? And what did Jesus say about the meek? Yes, and there was a lawyer said, but we'll win in court. The meek inherit the earth, but we'll win in court. Listen, you don't, this meekness stuff, this poor in spirit, is the opposite of pushy. It's the opposite of pushy. It isn't someone walking around with a long face. The perfect and most meek person that ever lived on earth is the Lord Jesus. He's an example of meekness. He shall not strive nor lift up his voice in the streets. He is meek. He didn't sell. You never look at Jesus selling. He's never selling. What he does is he announces the truth. And if you want it, fine. If you don't, fine. Listen, you talk about backdoor revivals. He got to preaching about his body and blood. And of the 5,000 people that were there that got a free lunch, all of them left except 12. You know, you could put a guy out of the denomination for that. What are you preaching? It's the wrong message. Huh? Meek, and he never sold. You'll never see, read of Jesus selling, trying to persuade anybody. In fact, sometimes he said things that would deliberately turn off people. You know, he says to his best friend there, Peter, you're the devil here, without those kind of words. No selling, nothing. The announcement of the truth. And see, the truth is the word of God, and it's living. And it's a seed. It's not just a word, like a word on paper. The word of God is a seed. And it gets down in people. Sometimes they don't even realize it. But pretty soon it begins to germinate. Yeah, it's a seed. So we who preach have to be careful to preach the word and not our ideas that we think will attract people, because that goes nowhere. It's the seed. It's the seed. So his first word is poor in spirit. What does that mean? It means they don't sell. They don't push themselves around. They're just who they are. Like me or don't like me, it's up to you. They don't walk around with a long face and say, woe is me. They're just not rich in promoting themselves. They're the opposite of Madison Avenue. Jesus doesn't need Madison Avenue. Amen. He doesn't need to persuade anybody. The power's there. Hard to get around it. The Son can do nothing by himself. That is the rest of God. When you can truthfully say, I told you about that funny thing that happened. I was up preaching in a meeting up north here, and at the end of it, I thought, I'll show these guys, show off a little. So I went over to the piano. I couldn't find middle C. Boy, God fixed me. Real good in that. He doesn't want us boasting or showing off. If we're going to boast, what do, Ed? We boast in the Lord. See, that's the rest of God. We boast in the Lord. We don't push ourselves around. Blessed are those who mourn. How many times have you heard a pastor say something about smiling and give your face a break? Well, sometimes people are, they just don't feel like smiling, you know, to please the pastor. They feel rotten and they want everybody to know it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with feeling rotten. Well, most of us, most of the time, feel rotten. Well, he says you're blessed. It's the people that are, you know, on top of everything. Their day is coming. You ever read the 37th Psalm about the wicked boasting themselves? I think of that. Some of these leading figures in the newspaper, I've been praying, God, take them out of my mind forever. They are so wicked, so pukey, I don't want to think about them, see them, or hear of them forever. I don't want them on the same planet. That's my feeling. I'm sure it's not yours. And then he says, I could do nothing by myself. He can do only, he's talking about himself, the Son. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. And you say, well, I can't emulate that because I can't see what the Father's doing. Listen, if you make it your point and tell the Lord every time you think of it, I'm going to live in your rest, Lord, and that means I've got to see you, I've got to know what you're doing, because I've got to live by you as you live by the Father, and I need help around here. I don't see anything when I close my eyes. You keep after it. He'd rather have you in the rest than you want to be in the rest. So pretty soon, you'll get your own set of cues. You may not see anybody, but you'll know what the Lord wants. You get in a situation and, boy, the fire's burning and you're ready to move. And you know better than that. So you stop and say, Lord, and then he may give you a no-no. What he says to me is, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Or I think that's a good idea. So, yeah, it comes very clear to me. But I've been working on this for years and years. Get in the habit of asking God about everything. And you'll get your cues. Pretty soon you'll know what they are. Some people hear directly from the Lord. Many do not. But you'll know what he wants. See? And then you're pretty soon you're saying, I can do nothing of myself. Only what I see Jesus doing. And he's always doing something. And he's always saying something. He's always thinking something. And you can get into that life. But not as long as you're fixed on your own ideas. Forget it. Go ahead. Waste your life. I speak from experience. Waste your life thinking I've got to do this. And wouldn't this be wonderful? That. And it's all a waste of time. Because you're not doing what God planned for you in the beginning of the creation. He planned your life. And then he rested. Now he says, for goodness sake, will you enter into my rest and quit your own doing? Well, I don't know, Brother Thompson, that takes faith. I know it takes faith. You've got to believe there's a God and that he cares for you. And so we're acquainted with the fact that Jesus, when he came down to what he wants us to do, it was to not be a show-off. Huh? Don't be a hotshot like the Reconstructionists. And those that are listening to me, however many, I'm not criticizing those people at all. I would like to bring them up to read the Bible that Jesus wants people who are poor in spirit. And then where was it? Verse 4? I don't have it on my thing here. Verse 4. What does verse 4 say, Marla? You should know.
Blessed are those who mourn.
Okay, what's verse 5 say?
Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are the meek. And the promise to the meek is what? You'll inherit the earth. Not you win in court. Judge, I'm sorry. Not you win in court. That isn't the promise of the meek. It's to inherit the earth. To inherit. See, that's what all these braggadocios, these wicked are trying to do is inherit the earth. They'll never inherit the earth. Psalm 37 says you look and you won't see them again. Their day is coming. We read about these wicked people in government. Let me tell you, their day is coming. They don't fear God. They don't pray. Except one, Ben Carson. Yeah, Ben and Candy Carson. His wife's name is Candy. And what was his advice to Mr. Trump? He gave his advice to Mr. Trump. He said, listen, this is Ben Carson. He's my idea of the next president, but I suppose he won't be. He said, pray and read your Bible. That's what Ben Carson, and it's been on WMD for 2 days now. Ben Carson says, pray and read your Bible. Oh, he'd be a wonderful president, but they don't recognize him because the hot dogs are out blowing off hot air. When that man speaks, Ben Carson, it's worth listening to. I'll tell you, he's wise, prudent in what he says. None of this stuff to stimulate the press. It's just some considered thing. Well, there you go, Ben. That was my word for you today. Okay, so the first three verses going out to the nations that you will have to enforce. You don't have to do it. You just tell the angels what you want. They'll take care of it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, people. We don't want any hot dogs around here. We want people poor in spirit. Okay, if you say so. And look at that angel over there with that cutlass. I'd better do it. Blessed are those who mourn. But I was told I have to be happy all the time. No, you don't. You can mourn all you want to. It's stronger. Solomon said, better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of festivity. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit. The first three commandments going out from the word of the Lord, going out from Sinai. No, from Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, the word of the Lord. Bam! It goes out from the Father. Jesus repeats it to the Christian rulers. The Christian rulers repeat it to the people. And the angels are watching. Watching. That's all it's going to tell you, people. That's how it's going to work. I just got that yesterday, I think. And I thought, that's so wonderfully clear. It must be the Lord. All right. And now we are in John 8:28 and 29. What am I talking about?
The rest of God.
In other words, he doesn't want you living by your own plans and ambitions. He wants you to pray every day and all the time until you know what he wants. Well, you've got to love and trust God to do that. You've got to believe he's bringing you. See, I had a lot of ideas when I was young that I thought would make me happy, but they never did. They never did. But God is bringing me to do things that will really make me happy. And I have to trust him for that. But I know he's going to do that. Because he takes no pleasure in people mourning and weeping around his throne. If you did that to a king in the old days, it was worth your life. All right, now we're on John 8, 28 and 29. Are you with me? Do you want to enter the rest of God? Do you want to make God happy? Do you want to be a home for God? A house of God? A throne of God? A chariot of God? Well, I do. I hope you do. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own. What are you doing on your own today? Tell me. What are you doing on your own? Christian, what are you doing on your own? Huh?
Nothing.
Good. He says, I do nothing on my own. Cool. Wouldn't you love a minister that heard from God? Yeah, you don't want to hear from people. But speak just what the Father has taught me. And you say, will he teach you? Sure he will teach you. If you get serious about this kind of thing, he may give you a whole epistle. Well, he did to John, didn't he? Jesus didn't know what to say. So the Father said to Jesus, tell John this. Gave him the whole book of Revelation. See what John got for being a good boy? They're just a human like you? Huh? Yeah. He ate bread and drank water just like you. And God gave Jesus the whole book of Revelation. And John wrote it down. Neat, huh? Well, you don't know what he'll do for you. He can't find too many people that will enter his rest. They can't believe it. But I've got to live my own life. Well, go ahead and do it. You'll be a miserable person because you don't know what you really want. Hey, come on. Amen. You don't know what you really want. You just think, if I had this or that, I'd be happy. Yeah. If I had a brand new motorcycle, I'd be so happy I wouldn't talk to you. Listen, you don't know what you want. You don't know what's in your heart. I didn't know what was in my heart till I landed in a schoolroom with 30 kids, little kids, 10 years old, because I had to make money so we could survive in Rochester because I wanted to go to music school. So I accepted a job teaching kids. I was there about a week. I said, Thompson, where have you been? This is what you're all about. And the kids knew it, and I knew it, and we had a blast. And I miss the kids. I miss the 10 years old. Oh, they're such fun. At 10 years old, it's just before they get interested in the boy and girl thing. And their brains are smart, and you can teach them slide rule or geography or anything that you choose to. See, they're not occupied with sex. When the time they hit 11 and 12, goodbye. Goodbye. They're no fun anymore. But 10 years old, oh, Lord. But the Lord said, no, you're going to go into the ministry. All right, so here I am, poor people. I feel sorry for you. I speak what the Father has taught me. Isn't that wonderful? The Father taught Jesus. Amen. Huh? Is that what it says?
Yes.
I do nothing but speak just what the Father has taught me. He was living in the rest of God. He was not making up his mind which one of his followers he should marry or whatever, or should he go teach in the university or whatever. He just listened to his father. Listened to his father. Listened to his father. And God wants you to listen to Jesus and skip all your marvelous plans for the future, because like the past, they'll come to nothing and make you miserable. Huh? Oh, if I could marry that hunk. Oh, I would be so happy. Yeah, that's right. Ha, ha, ha. Well, marry in haste and repent at leisure. Watch that one. Speak what he has taught me. He was listening to the Father all the time, getting up at 4 in the morning, going out there, listening to the Father. What's on today, Pop? He has not left me alone. God will never leave you alone. You might like him, but it says he will not leave you alone. I was trying to think of the scripture. I can't think of it just now. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? You can leave him. After a while, when he sees you mean business, he'll leave you. And then you're in trouble. I've seen people at the altar trying to get their joy back. But they took a little excursion. They came out of the whorehouse and Jesus wasn't there. For I always do what pleases him. Can you say that? Come on. Can you say that? To be in the eternal Sabbath, you have to say that. I always do what pleases him. Say, that's impossible. Oh, no, it's not. His commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. It's we who say, oh, I can't do it. And we give up before we try. You can please God. His commandments are never harsh or unreasonable, and he always gives you the grace to do what he commands. What are we talking about? Faith. It's faith that brings you into the rest of God. You have to have faith that God is there and that he loves you and he's looking out for your interests. No, do it on your own. Go ahead. And 10 years, maybe you'll remember what I told you. I said, boy, that old dude was right. I made a mess of things. Huh? That's right. Okay. I do what pleases him. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Because I am not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me. All right, then we go to Hebrews 4, verse 10, if you want. Good to see Bill back there and Judge. Boy, I miss those guys. Hebrews 10. All right, how many see it?
Hebrews 4.
4 or 10.
Hebrews 4, verse 10. How many see it? Pardon my senior problems. I have a short memory. It shorts out every once in a while. All right. Enough foolishness. All right. Hebrews 4:10. For anyone who enters God's rest, that's the rest from the beginning of the creation in Genesis 1. It isn't your rest. It isn't your rest. It isn't my rest. It isn't God's rest. Huh? All right, I got to look, see if we're in Nigeria. So you guys listening to me? Huh? All right. Rest from his own work. Whose work does he do? God's work. See, God announced everything in the first chapter of Genesis, all the way through to the New Jerusalem. All the way through, everything. And maybe beyond that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't go beyond that. But I would probably. Anyway, in Genesis 1, God planned everything. And then he rested. And he sent forth his word. And he says, I watch over my word to perform it. And so God is working. Is he resting? Yes. Is he working? Yes. How can he do both things? You'll be able to do that sometime. You'll have the power of multiple presence. But God, when it says enter into God's rest, he's saying enter into the thing I planned from you from the beginning of the world. And in your time, I brought you forth. Planned your destiny. I know what's in you. And if you'll rest in me, you'll have a good life. And furthermore, God will make you see, we're in the time when God is making his leaders for the world to come. And God, and if God sees that you will live a victorious life in the midst of this cesspool, you'll be a leader. You say, I don't care about being a leader. You will when the time comes, believe me. How would you like to lead the government today? How would you like to be able to tell them what to do? Huh? Instead of griping about it. You wouldn't want to tell them, I'd like to tell them what to do. Boy, I'd give them an earful. Well, anyway. All right. Now, concerning the Sabbath, this is what God said about the Saturday Sabbath. And now the Saturday Sabbath has evolved into 24/7. And this is the attitude. It's in Isaiah 58:13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, well, his holy day now for us is all the time. And from doing as you please. See, ordinarily on the Sabbath, they just say, well, he can't work. Oh, it goes deeper than that. From doing as you please. If you call a Sabbath a delight. How many know what the Psalms 37 says in verse 4 about delight? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself. And you delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and not be saying, oh, I have to go to church. And I have, now the pastor says I can't even have any ideas of my own. I have to do whatever God says. Oh, what a drag. Huh? That's not honorable, is it? No. So you blew it right there. And if you honor it by not going your own way, huh? But I like to go my own way. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Huh? Oh, boy. No, I say, if you don't believe what I'm saying, by all means, follow your own ideas. That'd be the best thing for you. Believe me. After about 10 years, you'll say, how did I end up here? This wasn't my idea of what it was all about. Not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. What is an idle word? It's a word that has no purpose. You are just talking because you love to hear yourself talk. That diarrhea of the mouth. You know what it says about idle words?
Every idle word will be judged.
Every idle word you speak, you shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Oh, this day of judgment so tickles my mind. I like to think about it. The Lord standing there in his robe and his lords on each side and the angels back ready for action and one poor dude standing in front of him. I was thinking one time I said something and people couldn't understand me. That's because I got a big mouth. I was just being facetious. Boy, did I learn from that, because I knew the angels could not understand what I was saying because it was, so I quit that because I want the angels to know what I'm saying. And they didn't know, and God showed me that. Quit it. Don't be facetious. Mean what you say. Oh, you don't have to tighten up, you know, and not have a good humor. You can. But God doesn't want people that are just running off at the mouth because they can't think of anything else to do. That's what he says. You don't do that on the Sabbath. So we don't do it on the eternal Sabbath. And Jesus never did do it and never does, never will do it. He never speaks an idle word. Imagine that. Jesus is our example. You know he had sisters and brothers. Did you know that? Can you imagine his mother? Jesus never did that. He never said anything like that. He never sassed his mother. They did come to the day that they recognized he was the Lamb of God, but they must have been sick of hearing how wonderful Jesus. You ever think of that, Ed? Huh? His sisters are here with us. We don't hear much about them. I think they were there on the day of Pentecost. His mother was there. I think his family was there. We know. Who was his brother? James was his brother. We don't hear much about them. His sisters, we don't hear anything about them. What a rugged life they led. Oh, boy. How'd you like to be a sister to the Lamb of God? Boy. Well, that's 30 for today. You've been an excellent audience. What shall we sing? Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Now, before you get up, ask Jesus if you should get up. I'm telling you, this gets down to the details of life. Should I go out now? Am I through in here? Is there somebody I need to talk to? Huh? That's how you do. There may be somebody that needs a word, and you got that word. You go out into the foyer. You think, Lord, where to? Where do we eat today, Lord? Or should we eat today? Maybe we should pray. Yeah, you just keep this up all the time. See, that would be miserable. No, it isn't. Jesus doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants you to be happy. Yeah. You're free to go. Just ask the Lord what you should do. Get used to it, Christian. Get used to it. You're a smart girl. I've noticed that by observation. You're what they call a sleeper. Amen. People don't realize what's going on there under that hair. I enjoy seeing you so you can sit there all day.